It's the big show.
Yes, we're back. 2 weeks on the trot at the correct time. We've managed to do a show. Life's good. We're excellent. Here to discuss the week's tech news, and it's been a huge tech week's news. Not. we've got some fantastic blokes. Starting us off is Peter Wells, top left. How you doing, mate? Oh, I've cocked up his bloody video. Look at that. He chased the video, isn't it? Oh, mate. See, I knew I'd do okay. This crap. I'll get you up. Here we go. You're in. Don't worry, mate. You're in. There we go.
Fantastic. Look, I'm not even watching the video. Australian internet is far too crappy for me to actually see the video as I record. So I'm just going blind here. So, yeah, be kind.
That's all right, mate. You're a presenter of Mac Talk Australia.
They fired me about a year ago, but God bless them. But no, that's fine.
Shit.
I'm currently on an independent site called reckoner.com.au, a very, very fun site with a couple of friends.
I'm so sorry, mate.
No, that's okay. No, it wasn't actually a firing. I'm being dramatic. It was just more of a, they decided not to spend any money on their site anymore, which is fine.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. I'm apologizing. Welcome to the show for the first time. Beneath him, Patrick Bleger. How are you doing, sir? And I've lost his bloody picture as well. Good grief. It's going well tonight with the new guests. There we go. Patrick.
Okay. Do you have sound, though?
Yeah, we got you. You're all good apart from that, mate. Now we got the video. There we go. Patrick, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I think we have a distinction, don't we? Because didn't you do Tech World Beat with Leo? Under Dane? Me? I'm sure it was you.
Well, I did shows. I get on This Week in Tech from time to time, but I have no recollection of anything called Tech World Beat.
No, there was a show that Leo did. I started off the first one, and it was called Tech World Beat. Dane had set it up, and I'm pretty sure it was you that did, like, number two.
I do not remember that at all, unless my memory is failing me, which is very possible. It wasn't me.
Mine too. But no, I did that show with Leo, and it got canned after three episodes. So I can see why. Welcome to the show, sir. Glad to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Next to him is Righty Boy from Norwich. How are you doing, buddy?
Hello, mate. How are you?
They've let you out into the big city, haven't they?
They did. Oh, it was scary yesterday. Us country mice going out into the big city, but we survived.
To London. And you sampled your first 4G injection.
Oh, God, it's amazing. I've come back to the possibly 2G of Norwich, but that was lovely. I really enjoyed that. But it's that kind of thing when you get 4G, you go, what do I do with it now? What do I do?
Download a movie, quick.
Yeah.
Run speed test.
It was great fun. I went to the, I think, the Service Desk and IT Support Institute show. It was amazing.
And? will you be going next year?
Hopefully not. Yeah, if you want to go to Earl's Court and go to an expo of help desks.
Lovely.
Oh, God, hold me back.
Yeah, oh, get the penny jar out from Australia to London for that one.
do my countrymen still, terrorise the good people of Earl's Court? I remember when I was there years ago, it was very much an Australian backpacker haunt.
I was going to say, no, they're bloody everywhere now.
Yeah, no, someone sold me a chicken tikka and cheddar cheese panini yesterday. I am not well after that.
No, I do a lot of work for a firm in London, and there's a good proportion of South Africans and Australians throughout the whole organisation. So I think you'll probably lie about at least a million people that end, and you only had five or six to start with, didn't you? So,
indeed.
And talking of low population countries in the Northern Hemisphere, Streaks with us. How you doing, mate?
Hello.
God, your video's a bit choppy tonight. It's normally pretty good.
What's tunnel? He's going under a tunnel.
We've lost him. Is he back? Hello, Streak. Don't move your head.
Yes. Okay.
That's what's killing the video. Sit still.
Darn. It's my metal plate in the head, isn't it?
That's it. It could be it. Have you been well this week, mate?
Pretty much, I would say.
How's sales of the books going?
It actually spiked up a bit for some reason. I cannot figure out this week, but It's going okay, I would say. I'm still shocked that so many people have bought it. I'm amazed.
It's a quality book. You're a knowledgeable writer, mate. I used to blog for Us a lot, so I know you can write good stuff.
And I will start.
No, you won't start. There we go. Streak is looking streaky, says Mark Shepherd. Oh, and he's gone. He's gone. There he is. It's, oh, bloody hell. This show is slick as snot. What's been going on in the week?
Skype does not like me.
Oh, no, that's fine. We can hear you just perfectly. Stuff the video straight. Don't worry about it. What's happened this week? We've got some concept drawings of Amazon's smartphone. Those two pictures, they just scream lawsuit to me, I have to say. Windows users have been left behind and stuffed because the latest patch that's come out for the browser for a little flaw has left them cold. Google has gone into parking reminders on your phone, which I've got to say, now I've got older, that could be pretty useful. Google Glass will only be worth a tiny fraction of the asking price, allegedly. Does that mean that it's going to sell cheaper? Who knows? And 4K Blu-ray could be dead in the water. I hadn't even thought that it was floating myself, to be honest. But we shall see. The Week in Tech, what's grabbed you then, fellas? Anyone want to start off? Peter, you're a new boy, start us off. Get the guests first, eh?
All right, fantastic. Okay, I think the big story for me was Facebook just yesterday, their little conference that they had, and just hearing what they've got in store for apps and developers out there, and mainly I guess I was really surprised to hear that Facebook doesn't already have an ad network. It feels like Facebook must have already had an ad network by now, because I never visit Facebook myself. So, and you know, the few times I do, I see those terrible ads on the side. So how the hell are they making so much money out of those shitty, awful ads that appear on the sidebar there? But
say what you think,
not,
dude.
I don't know. Sorry?
Say what you think,
oh,
dude.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
what do you mean? Define ad network.
So they've got a new ad platform that they'll be rolling out soon to special guests. So I guess, you know, the bigger companies of the world will first get an invite to try out this ad network. But it's basically taking on Google right there with AdSense. So it's going to be pretty crazy. So once, I guess, you know, the big game here is for Facebook to finally allow people to log in anywhere all the time. You're always goddamn logged into Facebook. And they're doing, you know, some smart things about that as well to make logging into various sites with Facebook less annoying and less spammy to your Facebook feed, I guess. So that seems to be the push, that they need you to be logged in on everything all the time so that they can constantly track you on every device, no matter what.
Who's a Facebook regular here? Because I've got to say I'm not. I live in Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter. Yeah, all the way.
Twitter as well. But, I mean, you can't really avoid Facebook, can you? What they're doing is really interesting, I think. They're trying, first of all, to address a lot of the criticism and, bad buzz that they've been getting for providing your information to everyone who wants it. They're really paying attention now, maybe because of the NSA scandals, and maybe just because they think it's necessary for them to continue to grow. But they're allowing you to have a lot more control over what information you give the site in which you're going to log in with your Facebook credentials. And when you couple that with the Audience Network, which is the name of their ad agency now, they're really trying to invade So it's always difficult to understand how Facebook is going to keep growing, because they're already so big that you think it's that they can't go bigger. But they've been showing a huge effort towards the mobile ecosystem, and their own app is now a lot more. It represents the majority of their revenue already. Their mobile app compared to the web version, and now they're pushing to invade everyone else's app as well through a series of open source efforts, which are really interesting. But as you were saying, also with the Audience Network, which is, as you were saying, going against Google, who has been pretty much the sole player in that field, or definitely the most important one. And Facebook has a huge, huge potential for becoming, I don't want to say to go bigger than Google, because that would seem difficult. But at least, you know, they're gonna keep all of the information that they have on you, and they probably have a lot more information than Google does.
Yeah.
And target ads to you on other people's sites, and that's really, really big. It could become a major factor of growth for Facebook. So that's absolutely a very big... I mean, we all expected it to arrive at some point, that network, but now that they've announced it, it could very well be the big thing for, you know, the next few months.
I think it's interesting to... I mean, there's comments in the chat room here, Mark Shepherd saying, I'm trying to hold Google Plus's head above the water. G Plus never really got anywhere, did it? And in terms of competition with Google... I mean, in terms of social, there is no competition with Google. They've absolutely creamed Google as far as social goes. And I think the problem I suffer with is because I'm so locked into Twitter, I don't see how prevalent Facebook is in terms of popularity and usage and functionality. My wife is absolute Facebook. She's Facebook through and through. She's got a Twitter account, and the only thing she goes on Twitter is to see if I've contacted a woman. And that's it.
Well, you know, Facebook has 1.2 billion active users. That's unbelievable almost as a number. And Twitter, which is also my network of choice, is at, what, 300 million, something like that? It's really small compared to Facebook. Mm. And for Google Plus actually is probably smaller. But the engagement I see on Google Plus, I don't know if it's just me, but the engagement is 10 times what I see on Twitter and on Facebook. So there's a weird dichotomy there.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just you, but I do think it's just podcasters and things like that. Because I've heard that many times on different shows. People say that, you know, they've got such great audience responses from Google Plus and things like that. And I guess if you're using Hangouts to broadcast and all of that makes sense. But yeah, I don't know. I described when we read that Google Plus was kind of disappearing over the last week, I described it to a friend. It's kind of like, you know, you see those little plus buttons and stuff on the Google homepage. It's like barnacles on the internet that you don't really know how they got there, and you scrape them off every few weeks, but they just kind of come back. And I don't know. That's been my entire Google Plus experience. I've never used it beyond wondering what the hell that little, you know, plus number is at the top of my homepage.
But that has been a survey this week that the Brits are more conscious of the security on Facebook, because apparently 2,000 British people that were surveyed, apparently over nearly 60% would actually pay for more privacy on sites like Facebook, but we're only willing to pay a tenner for that. Trend Micro did a thing. So we want our security, but we're only willing to give up a tenner a year.
My privacy's worth a tenner. We've got a show title. That'll do. Give me a tenner, I'll tell you anything you want to know, mate.
Yeah.
Affairs, yeah, I've had loads of them. No worries.
I'm sure Mr. Zuckerberg is happy to oblige if he gets just a little bit of money. No.
No,
he'll sell it on
me?
Very quick, fast.
£10 is not... I'm sure they make more than £10 on average on each user a year.
Yeah.
I don't think... I don't know how much they make, but it would surprise me if it wasn't... I don't know. Maybe I'm being unrealistic, but... At least they would have the hope to be making more money than that.
One of the other reasons I wanted to bring it up was a friend of mine actually works in advertising, and she was telling me that you know, the big problem here that Facebook seems to be addressing with their audience network is every other ad platform is pretty good at being able to kind of track you across websites and browsers and things like that. So I know you guys, the UK has that cookie mandate thing where they have to tell you about cookies in web pages.
Oh, we see it everywhere now, even on French sites. I don't know what happened.
It's all over the EU.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. But the big issue that a lot of these companies have had in terms of advertising tracking, apparently, is that when it comes to iOS, you know, on Android, everyone knows that Google is tracking you on all of the different apps and things like that. On Android, but yeah, within iOS, because everything is so siphoned off and everything is its own little world, once you're in an app, it's really hard for advertisers to work out what an iOS user is doing. Whereas if Facebook can get their, first of all of that open source app platform stuff that they're talking about, plus the Facebook Connect stuff, then they have a better chance than almost anyone in tracking you across iOS and the various things you do on iOS. And that seems to be At least for, I mean, it sounds so evil to say it, but this friend of mine who works in advertising thinks that's the gold mine that Facebook's after, and that's what everyone is so excited about in ad land, at least.
Oh, yeah, of course. There's no doubt that that's what it is. There's no doubt at all.
Jufro Jim in the chat room says, my Facebook account is locked down as tight as it can get. And he also says, surely Facebook could make more money out of the data mining than they ever would out of the ads, because a lot of the ads are pretty shitty. And why would you click on them was a point earlier. I mean, it's just... They're not great ads, it has to be said.
Yeah, but they have the system in, well, they're hoping to put the system in place to improve all of that. And I think that especially on mobile, that's very true. It's very difficult to track people. So if they manage to, through all of their, you know, free offerings and app links and like button for mobile and all of that, if they manage to get themselves inserted on enough apps, then it's possible that they will improve that situation and basically be more relevant than Google in that space, thanks to all of that.
The thing that strikes me about Facebook when I've got on the page, though, is if I go to Amazon and look at something, then the next website I go to, it's got that thing on there. So it's a GoPro camera, it's an ironing board, it's a pack of wipes for my glasses, it's an associated cookie-based selection service. Facebook has everything, and it's stuff that I've never clicked on. It's got everything. It shows me a car. I've never gone to a car site in Christ knows how long. Where's that come from? It shows me a dating site. I haven't gone to a dating site. It shows me stuff that is absolutely spurious. It's almost like it's selecting it based on me as a male 47-year-old living in Birmingham who obviously wants to buy a car and cruise dating sites. Because it doesn't seem to fit with my browsing habits, which all the other adverts seem to.
It could just be data mining, like you say, on a more general basis.
Yeah, they're not mining actual data off me.
Hmm.
So all I'm looking at Facebook now, and all the ads I've got are irrelevant. Grow my business, create a Facebook store, save on a Samsung camera. I've not searched for anything like that at all. It's not targeted at all.
I keep hammering on about it, but if you've got cookies working properly, you're knowing that people are looking for trainers, set of runners. And this is the example I use every time. You've got your Nike Fuel Band thing, which will post a thing that says how many miles you've run. They know you've gone and looked for trainers. They know how many miles you've run. There's an easy way of tracking your posts that say how many miles you've run equals how long the trainers last. And then they should be flooding that stream with adverts for trainers when those trainers have run out. I mean, I'm an idiot. And I reckon I can figure that out for myself. And they haven't. They've got this random, spurious, utterly unintelligent and ignorant process for advertising. How the hell are they making any money out of it? Because I there are no ads on Facebook that I would ever feel like clicking. And there's a lot of ads that come up in browsing in general that relate to things that I buy. I don't click on them necessarily, but at least they're the right things.
Maybe it's because you don't use Facebook all that much. It doesn't know you well enough to present you with relevant ads. I'm sure that the people who spend, you know, 2-3 hours a day on Facebook, you know, commenting and sharing and liking different pages, that's how they get to know you.
Not in the cross-section of cookies, then, or previous history.
Although I still get totally irrelevant ads, and I don't ever post to Facebook, but I do have my Twitter feed kind of going straight into Facebook. So, they should know me a little bit better at least than they do. But, yeah, I get the exact same crap. It's like, okay, you're a 36-year-old man in Australia. You probably want this. And it's so totally not what I'm interested in.
But the thing is then that gets me is the wife understands cookies. So she comes in and sees the Facebook ads I've got on and go, what the hell are you doing? If you wanted a new model, you should have said we'd have got a divorce. No, I don't. I didn't go there.
With cookies, I tend to see, like, I will only ever see ads for stuff I've just bought. So I won't ever see anything while I'm looking for that product. But the second I put any money down for that product on a website, then the next 2 weeks I get, hey, are you interested in a flight to Japan? No, I just bought one. So, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that was interesting that struck me was the backgrounds of the sets for the F8 conference. Those kind of prismatic connection line type things. I'm just wondering whether the networking idea is kind of the 6 degrees of separation. They want you to connect with other people because that connection with other people then gives you more ability to purchase things that they recommend because people buy on recommendation. Mm. So if I'm friends with Patrick, Patrick buys something, I'm more likely to buy it.
Yeah, yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
And they can also just see so much about you as well. I mean, if they see that you're the kind of person who is, I don't know, I can only assume that it's stuff like if they see that you're the kind of person who tries to pretend to still be friends with your high school friends on Facebook, you know, that says a certain thing about you, whereas if you're just the person who only ever talks to your coworkers, maybe you're a different type of person.
How do you know I do that? That's really spooky.
What else do people use Facebook for?
No, good point. No, okay. No, Facebook, I mean, here's the final question. We've asked this a lot on the show. Does Facebook exist in 10 years in the same way?
In the same way? Nothing is going to exist in 10 years in the same way.
Yeah, but I mean, is it even close to being a social network at that point, or is it transmogrified into something that's entirely different? Because, I mean, it's... I don't see how they get the revenue that they currently get from what they currently do because the adverts are shit and the interaction between the people, people Facebook say, I'll see you down the pub later on or something, but I don't see that they get a lot from that unless there's a paid view type thing creeping into it and it's the frequency of posting that's giving them revenue, not the clicking on the ads that's giving them revenue.
Well, they're already saying that young people are moving away from Facebook in droves, aren't they? So if that started now in 10 years, it's not going to be the same at all.
No, I don't see it as a sustainable business model, whereas, you know, Twitter, I see a lot more to that, although I struggle for them to figure out how they're going to make any money at it, but at least people are using it for its intended purpose, which is 140 characters communications on a frequent basis.
Well, you know, I would dispute the idea that Facebook can't generate enough revenue with their model. I mean, they're basically, they have the potential... to go against Google in their industry, and Google is obviously making all of its money through ads. They have a lot of different types of ads, but Facebook can totally rival them given the wealth of information they have. Now, I agree that the ads on their site on Facebook are not great, but when they become an ad agency, they can do anything with anyone on all the different sites. And there's no reason that they would be worse at it than Google. Actually, by all reasonable expectations, they should be a little bit better at targeting you than Google. So,
yeah. Oh, they should be a lot better already, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But isn't that why they're buying Oculus Rift, WhatsApp, Moves? They know that this model they've got at the moment isn't sustainable for the next 10 years. They're buying all of these apps, all these services, all these users now because they know that they've got to change.
I don't know. I think they're future-proofing themselves. They're solving the innovator's dilemma, which, as you guys well know, says that when you're new and you're entering a market and you're disrupting it, you can absolutely change everything about that market. But once you're established and you're too big to change, then you know that things might change, but you've got too much inertia to change yourself. And what Zuckerberg has been doing there is thinking, all right, these different things could become very big in the future. So let's get them, let's catch them now and see what happens afterwards with, as you were saying, Instagram, Oculus and others and Snapchat, whatever the one they bought was. But I'm not sure it absolutely means that they don't believe they will be, that Facebook as it is, of course it will evolve, but Facebook as a social network will be obsolete in 10 years. I think they're just trying to make sure that if that happens, they will be prepared. But I'm sure they're making their plans with Facebook itself for the foreseeable future.
Mm. And there's always a chance of rebranding and such as well. I mean, looking historically, communities have existed for a specific amount of time, like a few years, trendiness almost, and then they just like faded away into the sunset. Like you said, I think it's very much future-proofing themselves at this point. They're trying to get as many good possibilities for themselves into the future. And they're kind of smart people there nowadays. So I wouldn't really put it past them that they will be around, just not in the same way as they were today, at least.
Yeah. Well, you become MySpace, don't you?
Go on, Pete.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I think, yeah, that their projection is going to be like kind of a very sped up version of IBM where, you know, the feed that we know, the Facebook feed that we know today probably won't be anything in a couple of years, 10 years time. You know, people aren't going to be hanging out on Facebook, but they'll be so goddamn entrenched on the internet that they'll be, you know, they'll be the back end of all of the ads and all of the services and everything else.
Right.
Which is terrifying, but.
It is. Mm. We shall see. Points in the chat room here. Depends on... Jim's made a really great point here, I think. The Facebook's future could actually depend on what the status of net neutrality is in a few years, because if it's not what it needs to be for them to exist and flourish, that will be the chokehold on any of the social networks.
Mm. Well, net neutrality... The problem with net neutrality doesn't really... it's not really a problem for Facebook. They're already here, and they're big. And that was net neutrality was actually going to be my pick. So I don't know if that's...
Go for it. Let's run on that story. Right. Go for us, mate.
So I guess it started last week already. So I don't know if it's absolutely just this week, but it's certainly kept evolving. The fact that the FCC is trying to... It's a really long story. I don't know if you guys want to go into the details, but... essentially, the FCC in the U.S. is charged with regulating telecommunications and the internet. And they, in order to ensure an absolute neutral internet, they would have to reclassify the cable providers into common carriers that would have to be completely neutral towards the traffic that they transport. And they didn't do it a few years ago. I think it was 2002, because at the time it didn't make a lot of sense and they were facing the lobbying efforts from that cable industry. And now they're not doing it either. Now it does make sense, but the lobbying seems like it would make it too much of a battle in order for them to pursue it realistically, or at least that's what we're understanding from their stance, because what they're proposing now is to, they proposed last week to have, they didn't propose it last week. They put forth a text that is going to be discussed in the next few weeks that will allow ISPs to create essentially a tiered internet they would allow commercially reasonable deals for prioritizing traffic, which is absolute blasphemy for anyone who is, you know, savvy about the internet and technical matters. It could have very, very negative consequences for the net in the long term. Now, there's been a significant outrage in the tech industry, and the FCC chairman has written a couple of two or three blog posts already assuring everyone that this is not putting net neutrality in danger, and sort of hinting at the fact that if things go bad, he will get the huge hammer down and stop everyone. And the problem is, everyone's wondering why he's not doing that now, if he is not afraid to use the reclassifying as common carriers. Why wouldn't he do it now? Because the way he's phrasing his rules are very, very worrisome. There's almost kind of a double speak there. He's writing something on his proposal and then saying that the effects would be the opposite of the logical conclusion from what you're reading. So it's a very big concern. Apparently some big companies like Google and Netflix are considering going on a PR campaign against the quote-unquote net neutrality plan from the FCC. And The takeaway here is that from everything I've read and understood, the way it's written now would open the door to a tiered internet, which would mean the existing established services might be able to pay the ISPs in order to get decent traffic. But the other services, the new people, the disruptors, the next YouTube, the next Facebook, might not have enough money to get into that game. And that would, without being too over dramatic, It could threaten the internet as we know it. So that's a huge concern.
That's not overdramatic. I mean, I think the one thing that struck me about the FCC is that it's almost like it's a mafia that's running it, not the government. Because you had Jenikowski, who came out and said he believed entirely in a free net. And that was brilliant. Well done. And then a couple of weeks later, well, when I say a free net, I mean a free net within a structured system, of course. I didn't mean just free, you know, do what you like. And then by the time he'd left, it was like, well, clearly we need restrictions and rules. And now they've taken over and stuck Wheeler in charge. And Wheeler is unashamedly the puppet of the cable firms. And you've got, as Jim's putting here, you've got Comcast merging with Time Warner. The net will probably in less than 12 months no longer exist in anywhere near the format that we've seen, and it could be a horrifically choked system that's subject to ridiculous charges for usage.
Well, I think you're going a little bit far there, but I wouldn't say in 12 months it will almost certainly not be what we know today. That's overstating it.
They took Jenikowski out and they've done him with a baseball bat in the desert and they've covered him over in spoil. You know I'm right.
I have the the faith in the American democratic system, which means that huge lobbyists for Google and Facebook and other people will come in and hopefully combat the huge lobbyists from Hollywood and Comcast and those guys and who knows. Like with Soper and Pippa, we saw the same thing. It wasn't as much as it's nice to pretend that it was a grassroots movement that stopped those two bits of legislation going through. It was Google. It was Google's money and Google's lobbyists down in Washington that managed to calm those two things down. So, you know, who knows? That's the beautiful American system at work, and I like watching it from afar.
May the biggest wallet win.
Yes, indeed.
It is. I mean, the political system in the States is utterly, utterly... I'm not going to say it's corrupt, but it's not corrupt. It's dubious. There you go. So. Although,
basically, lobbying apparently rules Washington, and that's the big problem. But thankfully, you also have people or companies that are playing the role of the consumer's advocate in a lot of situations. Lobbying is definitely an issue. And when you were saying Wheeler is, I think you mentioned bowing to the cable industry. The thing is, half of the members of the FCC have been in and out of lobbying groups for the cable industry in Washington. So it's very disturbing to see that these are the guys that are now in charge of regulating the industries that they were championing, not a couple of years ago. I have to say that the number of explanations that Wheeler has had to publish on the FCC blog does make me feel like he's feeling the heat and he at least feels the need to justify himself. And since what he's saying still does not really make sense, there's the hope that he's going to go, that he's going to be turning back on some of the points. But yeah, it's worrisome again. And you can express yourself, by the way. There's a page on the FCC blog where you can comment their initiatives, so that let's all pretend to be Americans and write there that this proposal sucks.
Isn't it sad how much this affects us all? I mean, you know, it almost sounds like the start of a joke that a Frenchman, an Englishman, and Australian walk into a bar to talk about net neutrality. But this is really kind of scary that our internet that we share across the world could be affected so easily by just a small amount of people.
Doesn't the net neutrality proposals that the EU are proposing protect us in any way over here?
No.
Well, they do. They do for whatever is happening in Europe. But as everyone well knows, the bulk of the internet activity and innovation is happening in the US.
Yeah, exactly.
So that. But, you know, let's say that things do go bad in the US. It might be that some startup entrepreneurs and innovators decide, you know what, I might be better off in Europe because we do now have strong net neutrality laws, or at least, you know, they're going to be passed, hopefully, if nothing goes bad, fairly soon. But even that wasn't a given, you know. Even the laws that we have now, or that are being proposed now in Europe, were not a given at all. They were changed last minute because of a group of parliamentaries went in at the, you know, literally the last few hours and amended all of the problematic articles in that law and made them actually net neutral. But it, the way the text initially entered the House, it was very worrisome for us as well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of hands off in terms of the FCC, but people in Europe don't realise how much power they wield. If you're talking about the phone, you know, Motorola, Apple, those kind of the cell phone providers, all of their stuff has to go through FCC approval before it can get released anywhere. And they don't give a stuff about whether the EU approves of it. They care whether the FCC approves of it. So it's tailored for what the FCC requirements are before it gets any look at what the EU requirements are, which is unfortunate. For some reason, all the video seems to have stopped, but it's on the real feed. It's working just fine. So I can see all you guys moving over here, but you're not working on the big show thing. So... no idea what's caused that, I'm afraid.
No, actually, we just all stopped moving to make a joke.
Exactly the same point. Yeah, Righty's got his finger up his nose. So, good lad. Well done, mate. That's what we like. Now everyone's just stopped. There is no way I can get anyone running. Oh, well. Oh, it's going to be a great show just watching me be the only person that can bob their head around. Maybe it will correct itself. Good story, Patrick. Well done, mate. So excellent. Righty, what have you got for us?
Well, it's something I hadn't thought about for a long time, but this week Canonical said that they were shutting down Ubuntu for Android, which is something that was started a long time ago with Motorola Atrix, three or four years ago, which was that kind of thing where you had your smartphone and you'd dock it, and obviously it was a laptop and or a screen and a mouse, and you'd have a full Ubuntu interface. And at the time, I thought that was a really, really good idea, that you could like carry your computer around and then get to work, dock it, and then do all your work, pick it up, take it home, dock it when you got home. But what I was thinking now is, in this kind of, you know, 3 or 4 years on, the clouds have kind of moved on, and services like Twitter, Google Docs and that sort of thing, Google Drive. Are we kind of device agnostic now? Because I know you've moved over to Windows Phone, and you didn't really find a difference kind of moving from Apple to Windows, did you?
Answering your question, yeah. I mean, I think one of the things, right, is that me changing over from Windows, I didn't notice a difference because I'm not a power user particularly. Mm. I mean, I had a few applications, a few services that were there on iPhone, and I moved away because I wanted the camera off the 1020 and got it. But all of the other applications, apart from Skywalk, which I got a few weeks later, so I haven't missed anything. But, I mean, it's interesting that the Motorola have announced this week as well, haven't they, that they've got a brand-new series of phones coming out, and they're going to be uber budget. They're already doing the Moto G. It's 160 quid or something like that. So,
yeah, I saw my dad got the Moto G at the weekend, and it's stunning what you can get for a cheap price, and it still runs all the same things that you used to do on iOS.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Moto G is the go-to phone for if anyone asks me what I think they should get. That's the one out there at the moment that is
my lad's
killer.
Going on a smartphone, and I've said to him, we'll get you a Moto G because it's like 100 quid over the street.
Yeah.
But that's the thing where you're not tied to an operating system anymore, because, you know, I think I've been on the show before where I do a thing in Chrome, and I've got Chrome on my PC, my Mac, my iPhone, my iPad, and I can do everything there. You know, and it remembers everything and that sort of thing. We're not actually tied to an operating system anymore, are we? Anymore. So that idea, I can see why Canonical are shelving the idea, because without taking your phone out of your pocket, putting it into a dock, you're kind of taking your online life with you everywhere anyway now, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, you absolutely do. No question.
We've moved on in a very short space of time.
It's not just one central silo.
Sorry, go ahead, Street.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, it's not just one singular silo yet. It's like many small different silos, like we have Twitter, Facebook, Google Drive, whatever, Dropbox and so on. And all of those services are just so easily installable on a multitude of different devices. And exactly, we carry it around with us so easily now.
And that's maybe why Facebook's trying to get into more platforms as well, because they're realizing that you're taking all those platforms with you wherever you go. Mm. And that advertising is very important to them.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I carry around an iPhone and an Android phone, one for work, one for home, and I'm constantly jumping between the two of them. Don't really notice at all. There's some apps I prefer on one platform over the other, but not enough. As long as I use Google as kind of my back end services, then everything seems to be Android okay phone, for that. I was going to ask that. What are you using for podcasts? Because whenever I jump back to Windows Phone, that seems to be the one app that is missing a decent podcast app.
I use Podcast Lounge, and that okay. seems to work okay. You can fit a lot of stuff in pretty well, but it's not I wouldn't have said it was particularly slick. It's certainly not up to the kind of – it's not Downcast kind of level of slickness. But it gets the shows, and it's fine. It had a lot of problems at the start when it would buffer. If I was driving, I'd lose podcasts for long periods of time on the drive. But now it's got a lot better at buffering and storing when it's got data and then pushing it out. It's okay. just upgraded recently. But Podcast Lounge, I can recommend. If you want a Downcast-like experience on Windows Phone, well, forget it. It ain't going to happen. But that's the best I've found so far. And MetroTube is pretty good for YouTube. And Google Plus, non-existent. Absolutely non-existent.
Really?
Yeah, there's lots of stuff. There's lots of Google-badged applications, but there's nothing from Google. And Hangouts, not even close. Forget it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's poor.
But it was just interesting how we're not tied anymore, are we?
No, really? not at all. Not at all. I think it is much more of a... I've never been one. I've had a go this week at a couple of people on Twitter who started off and said, oh, no, I wouldn't have that because it's Windows. But, I think you're a moron if you sit and go, I'm only buying Mac because it's Mac, I'm only buying Windows because it's Windows, and I'm not buying either other because they're what they are. You buy the best thing that's out there on the market, the best thing that fulfills the deal, and some of that's the workaround and the integration with your other platforms. I run Mac for everything else, and it is a bit of a pain in the arse not to be able to do it. But one of the things I said last night in the Help Show is I found that Google has actually solved a lot of my problems with synchronization of contacts and stuff like that, because it's been the middleman, if you like, between the two. And I wanted the phone that's got the best camera on it, and it has got an amazing camera. I mean, one of my photos that I took on my phone was actually published in the Evening Standard the other week.
And that's pretty sweet.
The guy I took it for said, I love your camera. Oh, I took it on my phone, mate. And now it's got the DNG on it as well. I mean, it's just superb.
Mm. And you're right, though. I moved a while ago from like iCloud and that kind of stuff. Even though I have a Mac as my main machine and an iPad and an iPhone and stuff, I moved away to Google services just so I could move between those worlds. And yeah, and I'm so glad I did, because yeah, now I do have an Android for work, and it's great being able to just move so easily between the devices. And of course, I use Chrome on my desktop as well. So
love Chrome. Mm. Most definitely. I don't know, Righty. I mean, I think it really is a bit of a free for all at the moment with the encroachment of Windows Phone on the market for market size. Android's coming back a little bit. iPhone's doing okay. BlackBerry who are BlackBerry again?
Well, no, they're
that real estate agency up in Canada.
But I'm kind of at the end of a contract, and I'm pretty free to get whatever phone I like now, because all the services that I need are on all platforms, and that freedom is better for everyone.
Yeah, no, I mean, the one thing that I've always done is bought SIM free. It was Sony Ericsson T61, little tiny flip phony thing with a little stubby aerial on it. And I bought that back in about 99.
I had that phone.
2001, something like that, yeah. And it was a cracking phone, because I was working in a noisy environment. It had a really piercing ring on it. You could play Snake on it, which was cutting edge at the time. And I bought that because it fitted with my life at the time, and it was absolutely great. But I bought that SIM-free, and I realised how much money I saved by buying SIM-free. And I've bought SIM-free ever since. I've never been on contract since. And it's great, because you can walk in a place and go, give me a SIM, and they go, we want it for 12 months. Nah, stuff off. And they go, oh.
Absolutely, yeah, I'm prepaid as well. I reckon if you're a hardcore geek, you've got to be prepaid, because then you can, yeah, throw that the phone on eBay if you decide that it's not right for you and move along and just, yeah, switch between these platforms. Absolutely. Prepaid's the way to go.
I said I wanted to get rid of the landline 3 years ago, and the wife has just come round now and said, okay, we can lose the landline. But 3 years ago, we were at the stage where we didn't need a landline in the house anymore. Mm-hmm. And I've said to a couple of people, and they said, can I have your landline? No, we haven't got one. Oh, well, we can't sign you up if you haven't got a landline. Fine, I'll go somewhere else. Well, when I say we can't, I mean,
yeah,
we can.
Mm-hmm,
yeah, mm-hmm. Good story, mate. Streak, what have you got for us?
I seem to be the guy who likes to go back to recent or even slightly more far away technology past. So this is another one of those occasions where we have a bit of an anniversary.
Oh, you did the Game Boy last week.
But this one is a different one. This one goes even further back.
Oh,
if I say 10, print, quotation mark, British tech is awesome, exclamation point, quotation mark, 20, go to 10, and then hit enter and write run and enter.
That's the only computer language I know.
Yeah,
1-0 CLS, 2-0.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. Good old BASIC. It celebrated its 50th birthday.
Holy shit, I'm old.
Wow. Holy crap.
It's been around for quite a while.
Is it 50?
Yes, designed way back. And kind of in the late 70s, it got really big, thanks to Microsoft, of all companies, actually.
Oh, and the Sinclair Spectrum, mate, be fair.
Spectrum, definitely, here in Europe,
one?
And very much the Commodore 64 as well.
Jim's going to 1-0 print F off. Thanks, mate. 2-0 go to 1-0 run.
Perfect.
Syntax error. Awesome. That was me. I'd spend ages sitting type something, and then I'd get run syntax error. Bastard.
Classic error.
And that was it. That was the thing. I'd stop. That'd be like, oh, right, bollocks. I'm not doing it anymore. I've spent ages sitting here, 260 lines of code, and then you just get syntax error. You know, stuff it now. I'm going to watch the cricket. I'm done.
So the beginnings of many a nerd's voyage into the world of computer technology.
It was the beginning of this nerd's voyage into cricket, mate.
No, that too.
Not bloody computer.
Maybe you found a new love for cricket instead, so it's all good.
What was your first programming language then, everyone? Because I've only ever done BASIC.
Yeah.
I started and ended at BASIC.
Oh, Patrick, you've got to talk us through BASIC in French. I don't mean actually, don't speak in French now. What I'm saying is, how the hell did you get on with BASIC in French? Was there a French version?
No, it was BASIC is English. So you would pronounce it really, really bad because, you know, I would be... like, I don't know, 10 years old. But, yeah, it would work.
Oh, shit, I'm old. I loved BASIC. That was great.
Mm.
I was crap at it, but I loved it.
Same here. I never really learned to do anything really sensible with it, but I loved working with it. It was fun.
Do you remember Test Match Cricket? It was a board game that you had.
Yeah, the board game with the little...
The bloke with the hoover. Fantastic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bloke with the hoover, right? I've still got it at my parents' house. The actual playing surface is stuck together. It's knackered. It's so old. But the bloke still does the bloke with the hoover still got it, and you can still bowl the ball at it. Well, I used to play with James Baker, and through the summer we used to keep a cricket scoreboard, and we used to play this. And I made like a black wooden board, and I had hanging numbers that I'd drawn on cardboard that we could hang up as like a little scoreboard. And then when I got to doing computing at school, I made a scoreboard where you could input the batsman's score, and it would change the scoreboard. And it's the only program I've ever written that actually friggin' worked. And you'd just type in batsman number, you'd type in the score, and it would change the scoreboard, it would change the total, it would change the overs bowled and stuff like that. I was really chuffing myself.
But it looked bloody amazing, though, didn't it?
No, it looked like shit. It was all in the top left corner. that was the other problem. Design on BASIC was crap, because everything was in the top left corner. Print app was never worked for me. I always put it in the wrong place. Oh, never mind. I wanted to talk about the Amazon phone, because I mean we showed earlier on that there's a couple of pictures there that are supposedly concepts. You got to doubt that. The Amazon tech market has always seems to have been about a loss leader for the purposes of selling content and nothing else, and it's unashamedly that way. I am struggling to see how their phone is going to do that particularly in the modern market, because this, I mean, America particularly has huge data caps, so the content that Amazon's going to sell via those data caps is going to be very, very throttled and choked. And I don't know that an Amazon phone's going to take off so easily, especially with things like we just talked about with the Moto G and other subsidised phone mechanisms, particularly iPhone coming in. And then add on to the fact that that looks like Apple are going to sue them, or at least Samsung are. And the tiles are like Windows
phone as well.
Exactly. I mean, this is Android, isn't it? But it is pure Android source code. It is not Google.
Yeah, it's the fork. They did the same thing with all their other, the Fire tablets, I believe it is. This is the base system, and then they added their own magic sauce on top.
I caught up with the Pocket Show as well this week, and they were talking about the Microsoft or Nokia Android phone, which is pure Android, but actually looks like Windows Phone 8 as well as the Amazon one. So,
yeah, the Normandy project.
Yeah, X something or other, isn't it? The X
Nokia, series. Nokia X
series, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, is this going to be a credible smartphone which will dent the market, or is this a Bezos player just being a bit of an arse and trying to knock everyone else off the game a little bit?
I can see the Kindle Fire HD and HDX were okay because it was kind of a follow-on from the Kindle itself, you know. You'd read your books on it and all that sort of thing. But I don't think there's going to be that much kind of call for it on a phone. I think that was the pull of the tablets. But I don't want an Amazon-only phone, because the problem with the tablets that they made, it was Amazon-only content, wasn't it? It was their store. It wasn't the Google Play store and that sort of thing. I don't think you're going to want Amazon-only content on your phone.
But the thing you got to say, Righty, is they worked.
They worked, but then we've just had a conversation about being able to take your stuff from phone to phone as well. If they had that flexibility, it'd be okay. I don't think they will. I think it'd be more locked in.
Mark Shepard in the chat room is calling vaporware. Blimey.
The thing is, those concerns are concerns for us in the geek tech community. Amazon is a trusted brand for a lot of people who don't really need to have to... who aren't even thinking about worrying, about the fact that they can't get their data portability to their next phone. And Amazon is pretty big. So I don't think it's that different from the Kindle Fire. Sure, you already had the Kindle and you can read on both. So yeah. But the Kindle Fire wasn't really, it didn't make more sense than the Kindle phone. So I don't know. Amazon and Bezos in particular are very. I guess Bezos knows what he's doing, and if he's thinking, "Let's make a phone because it can help us," I think it would be a little bit not short-sighted, but it would be. If it was between me and Bezos to decide whether or not that thing is relevant, I would trust Bezos's judgment more than mine, I guess. Is what I'm
or he's so drunk on power, he's Emperor Nero.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, but, you know, everyone's saying that mobile is where you need to be if you want to have control. The problem is Amazon is not controlling their destiny because on a website, everyone's equal. On the mobile market, you have to be funneled through the ecosystems of Apple and of Google and of Microsoft. So maybe Bezos is thinking, we want to be doing the things the way that works for us. And the only way to do that is to be an actor in that space ourselves. So yeah, it might make sense. And also remember, we don't know exactly what that phone is going to be. These are just rumors that we're hearing now. And we don't know what plans Amazon has for the future, because Bezos is not someone who works for, you know, the next quarter's results. He looks at things long term. So it's possible that Amazon Prime is going to expand to a level when having a phone, Amazon makes sense. They have game development studios. They have media development studios. So maybe it makes sense for them to have at least one representative in all of those areas.
I'm just wondering, yeah, if you've got Prime, you don't have call waiting. Your call goes straight through.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got Prime, stuff you. You're in a queue, and that's the end of it. Amazon are thinking of getting their own phone network, says Bookery. Blimey, that's a leak. Yeah.
But there is that other thought, because they've raised the prices on Prime in America and over here, I think.
Yeah, but you're getting free movies with that.
They had another tier, which was Amazon Prime, but the phone came free with the content.
Well, this Boy Genius report as well links to a story about Prime Data that they've seen marketing material that says that, yeah, this phone will include Prime Data, whatever the hell that might be. So, yeah, maybe there is some bundled data in there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, like the next generation WhisperNet, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess, you know, they have to have a phone. I mean, everyone has a phone these days. Not everyone has a tablet. So, you know, it's great that they've got the Kindle out there, or the Kindle Fire, I should say. But, you know, that's not going to be something that every single person needs to have. But, yeah, I can – if they pull this off, I mean, I don't really know. I've never played with a Kindle Fire myself. But, yeah, if they do manage to kind of nail the interface and make it just easy enough that this is – $100 phone that you can give to your mum and know that she'll be able to use it, then yeah, I reckon they could do pretty well with this.
That's one of the key points with what they've done with the Fire, is the Fire HD. If you've got that service, you've got that button that says I need some help, and someone comes up and tells you how to get to the content. And that's the key part, is that Bezos said, right, if someone wants to buy content and give us money, I want absolutely no inhibitions to that to be able to take place. So now he's got the tablet. Hey, you're out there.
Guys, I'm sorry. I have an emergency. I have to leave.
Oh,
very sorry.
Yeah, well, I hope it's all. I hope all's well, mate.
Yeah, it's fine. Thank you very much for the invite.
No, we'll see you again soon.
Bye.
Yeah, okay. We've never had an emergency.
Okay.
We've never had an emergency live on air before.
It's new.
That's a first one. I hope everything's okay, fantastic, Patrick. But we've had an emergency. I hope if nothing untoward happens, that's cool. There we go.
Indeed.
I'm sorry if there is. But no, I mean, that's the point, is that Amazon wants you to get to their content. There are no inhibitions to it. And if someone's saying, right, you're out on your tablet, you've got to find a Wi-Fi network. There's no Wi-Fi network. I'll tell you what, we want you to have a phone, because you can still get to the content then. And it's that kind of, you know, access everywhere strategy.
That makes sense. Because Amazon just wants to sell you stuff.
And it's not a bad-looking device, if this is true. I mean, you're right. It's going to be sued from all angles. But, yeah, it's a good-looking kind of mock-up.
Yeah, you'd say that.
Mm.
Especially if it's 160 quid or something like that.
Exactly.
Mm.
Which it could well be. You'd be talking $200 here for the item. This podcast and all the others are brought to you by UK2. They're the people that help us get them up into the cloud and back out to you. Our servers are all supported by them. The server we have off them gives us unlimited bandwidth and gives us unlimited storage. It would cost us £400 a month. I think it's £480 a month, actually, if they weren't supporting us. And that's one of the things, is a lot of the sponsors that we have don't necessarily give us cash directly. They just alleviate the cost. And UK2 do that. They are a very good firm. They've got excellent tech support, and they've got excellent services for helping you purchase and that kind of thing. Go to britishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link. There's a whole pile of offer codes there. You'll get a shed load off your basket, and they've got everything. And it doesn't matter whether you're in Australia or whether you're in Sweden or the US. They've got co-location services as well, VPN, VPS. You can do anything you want through UK2.net. They're really, really grand. And they've been supporting us now for 4 years. They've been wonderful, wonderful friends to the network. So please support them, just because they keep us going. And the other ones I really want to mention are the Network Union. These guys are great. I'll tell you what they do in a second. But they pay for the pipe work into the studio here so that we can, you know, they alleviate the broadband cost for us to then get stuff out to you. But they also have become one of our best Patreon subscribers because they've chucked $85 a month at us.
Amazing.
Robert, thank you. I've got absolutely no words to describe your generosity. Thank you very much, mate. I hope we're doing our bit and giving you enough custom back the other way. These guys are BT business partners. So what that means is if you've got or you're thinking of being a business customer with BT, you can either go it alone and sort it out for yourself, in which case I'm sure BT offer a very good package and a wonderful experience, or for no extra cost, you can get in contact with the Network Union. They'll set the deal up with you. You'll have a direct connection to BT. Your money goes straight to BT. But what you've got with Network Union is an extra layer of support and service. And they'll help you tweak your WAN, or they'll help you tweak your network so that you get the best possible options. They'll also talk to BT on your behalf and make sure that you've got the very best service that you can possibly have. I went to sign my accounts off, year-end accounts. Not the best of days for me usually in the year. And on Tuesday, I went and sat down with my accountant at Athos. And he said, oh, we've got a service at the moment. He said, I reckon they're really stiffing us because we can't do this, this and this. And I said, well, talk to these guys, Network Union. Got Robert on the phone. Athos talks to him. And Robert says, yeah, no, that's not good. We can get rid of that. We can do this. We can do this. We can do this. And Athos says, right, OK, let me get out of the contract with these other guys and I'll get to you. Definitely. And that's the kind of thing that they do. Athos is still going to be connected to BT broadband. It's not going to change anything. The business broadband service will be exactly the same. But what he's got is the Network Union fighting in his corner as well as. And that's what they do. So give them a call. When you go to BritishTechNetwork.com and click on the sponsors link, you'll see the link to Network Union. They'll ask you for your email address. Don't worry. When you give them that email address, they do something really, really innovative. They keep it so they can contact you and don't give it to anyone else. How radical is that?
That's pretty novel.
That is. No one else does that. No one else does that. It's just a contact service, nothing more. So please support Network Union because Jesus Christ, they support us. More than ever. Thank you very much. Patreon has finished for April, so the swag bag will be given away. We'll be doing a draw next week on that, once we've got all your cash in and we've seen who's actually entered for us. We had a kind comment from Dominic who said, fellas, I don't want to be the naysayer or anything, but are you sure this isn't a lottery? And thank you for that, Dominic. Really, really kind. And we had someone else who wrote in a letter that said that they were going to tell on us to the Gaming Commission because we were running a lottery. So they got an email that told them where to go. Because I thought, well, if they're going to tell on us, we might as well ring the Gaming Commission then. So I've run the Gaming Commission. Said, we're not running a lottery, are you? And they said, no, we don't think you are particularly. He said, it's not brilliant, but it's okay. It's a free draw, free prize draw. That's simple as that. And you're giving it away to a selected bunch. They haven't bought a ticket for the purpose of a draw. They're there to support you as patrons, first and foremost. So, Michael, stuff it up your arse, you bastard. Go and take your complaint to them now and see how far you get, you wanker.
Welcome to the British Tech Network.
We have contact with people via Twitter and via email, and they, I would say 96%, 98%, absolutely sterling, fantastic people I absolutely adore. 2%, utter wankers. I don't know what they get off doing. But there we go. So we'll do that draw next week, and you've got that. But fear not, because we're now into May, so we've got the May giveaway, and the May giveaway is sponsored by MacPaw. Now, MacPaw do Clean My Mac, which is absolutely fantastic. I run it on all my machines. I've got 5 licenses, and it's absolutely brilliant. And I paid for those as well. I'm not getting paid to say that by getting free 5 licenses. We've got 3 licenses for Clean My Mac to give away, and we've also got 3 licenses for Hyder 2 as well, their secure system stuff. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, come the end of this month, we'll do a draw and we'll have 3 licenses of Clean My Mac to give away. And if you win, you'll get one of Clean My Mac and one of Hyder as well as. So Patreon, go to patreon.com/British Tech Network. We're up to $350 a month. Thank you so much. I'm absolutely stunned. We've only been running it for 2.5 weeks. And we're already up to that. You guys are so generous. All we're asking for is... We're doing our very best to make sure that the quality of the shows is as high as we can possibly get it. We've dumped Justin TV because the live shows were pretty crap, so we've gone with live stream. We've kind of got some teasing troubles with that, but that's more us understanding how live stream want us to work rather than live stream being crap per se. We're getting through to that, but that's been paid for by the Patreon stuff. We're going to get microphones out to people so we've got good quality audio for everyone. And we're going to make sure that we spend the money on improving the service that the network gives. We're adding shows. We've got a House of Cards show that's done two episodes. The Help show's done two episodes. They'll be posted up this week and they'll be available to you. Episodes of shows will be coming thick and fast to you. So please, 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 if you think we're worth just chucking, you know, $5 a month, some people give $1, some give $5, some give $15, some give $85, but we're not expecting that. But $5 is a beer. Plain and simple. All you're doing is buying the network a beer, if you like, each month. It's £3. So please, please, please support us, because the money will go into supporting the network and improving things around here. And also, Paul Wheatley's going to go to video. He's moving house soon, and he's going to get a far, far better data connection. As soon as he does, the Gamer Show will go to video, and the Pocket Show will go to video as well. So there's lots of extra happening, and that's happening because of Patreon. So thank you very much to those people who supported us. You are sterling, sterling individuals, and I write to you each individually and say thank you each month, I promise. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Patrick must have had a cool thing, but he'll never get to say it now until next time. Streak, what's your cool thing this week?
I found something that kind of escaped out into the App Store, as it should have, called Pixel Press. It's basically you draw your own video game. It's something that came out of Kickstarter a while back, if I'm not remembering wrong. And now they finally come up to the point of they're actually releasing it out into the wild. Currently only available for iOS, but there's an Android version coming at some point later, I believe. And it's the wonderful, cool idea we had back in the day when we were all playing video games, I assume at least, drew our own levels or whatever on paper. And, well, they lived there and you couldn't really do anything with them. Pixel Press, you can just draw on paper, take a photo of it, and it'll help you turn it into a real game that you can actually play on your tablet or iPhone. It's a wonderful idea.
Really?
And brilliantly executed.
I can say that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
It does.
Oh, my life. Pixel Press.
Yes.
And did you say it's free?
Currently free, yes. They just released it, I think, yesterday or the day before. I can't remember for sure now. But last time I checked, this was still free. It'll be some paid services going on later, but right now at least you can get in for free.
I hate this part of the show because it always costs me a bloody fortune. But so thanks for picking something free.
Sometimes it's free, sometimes it's not. That's how I work, I'm afraid. But I really love the concept. It's brilliant. I've been following these guys since they came up on Kickstarter there, and it looks really, really nifty.
My boy would love this stuff because he loves this kind of ability to create and have his own levels on things. He loves Minecraft.
Awesome.
If you're a Minecraft lover, I guess this is probably...
Yeah.
That's lovely.
There was something similar to it a while back, but I keep forgetting its name, and it was more like a just shooter.
Yeah.
This seems to be a bit more platformy kind of stuff. This is more my kind of thing.
If you listen on audio, just talk amongst yourselves, because we're sitting watching the video and jaw dropped by the whole thing.
Awesome. I'm glad I could spread the joy to more people because I just fell in love with it.
When I mean, you could make your own Donkey Kong out of this or something, or
yeah,
effectively, yeah,
or Mario, or Sonic the Hedgehog, or
mm-hmm.
Oh, it's got blocks that when you step on they disappear and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
double jumps.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is Mario World.
Yep, I'm downloading that now.
It's pretty darn wicked, I must say.
Right, he's going to be divorced next week.
Yep, sorry.
Whoops.
We all are.
Sorry, wife.
Who are we kidding?
Yeah, just send her to me to blame. No, I'll try to be kind and sorry, it's my fault.
I am not sending my, with your looks, I'm not sending my wife to you.
Jolly good.
Mark Shepard in the chat room says, is this how Flappy Bird got started? And also there's beer everywhere now, because it's by network of beer. Great pick. I mean, that's an awesome pick. Beat that, Mr. Willis.
I don't think I can.
Your name's Wells as well, not Willis. Jesus.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm sorry, man.
No, it's all good. I'll go for an app called, I'll stick with an app, Talon for Twitter, which is in the Google Play Store.
Oh, it's not Talon, is it? It's not the Talon.
I don't know. I don't know why. It's just a, it's finally a decent, beautiful Twitter app for Android.
Oh, no.
Because that's the one thing that kind of was always a bit depressing switching over to Android from iOS was not having Tweetbot there, but this is absolutely gorgeous, and I think it's $2. So
yeah, £1.90.
Yeah, sorry, not free this time, but
it does look. It's nice and dark, and
it's got light themes as well. Yeah, it's just really, really nice. I mean, it's really fast. You can mute people, which is nice. Although I just saw the official Twitter app is getting mute, which is awesome. Thank Christ.
It's their friggin' API. It's their own API and they haven't used it.
Mm, absolutely. Ooh. Hang on, I've got to get a link to this. So what was the Pixel thing again? Sorry.
stuff what I've come up with. It's crap. I want yours.
It was Pixel Press.
Pixel Press. Fantastic. Yes. Thank you.
Excellent, mate.
I'm not going to get any work done today.
You know you've got a good pick when someone goes, yeah, look, enough about what I wanted. What was it you said? Spot on. Righty, what have you got for us, boy?
Well, you may, it's my daughter's birthday on Monday, and you may have seen me and Mr. Wheatley in a bit of a battle of the Minecraft selfie on Monday evening. So I'm coming from the virtual world to the real world, and I'll give you this as a dad, Papercraft by Minecraft. Now, this is absolutely amazing. You can build all of the things that you build in Minecraft in the real world. So I've got my my Minecraft storage box here.
Right.
I've got my little Minecraft Steve, which my daughter built for me. Absolutely fantastic. So if you really want to bring Minecraft into the real world and kind of turn it into a real craft thing, you know, apart from just them staring at the screen all the time, because they're really in Minecraft and you kind of think, don't want to use the stare at the screen for 3 hours. It's £20. It's got all of the blocks, creepers, dirt blocks, grass blocks, all that sort of thing. They can sit there, they can actually build them in real life. So it's just a great little toy. It's £20. It's a bit pricey. I've got my little dirt block there. But I'm not very good at Minecraft, but I can fold card and stick it with sellotape. And I'm better at that than I am on the computer.
Excellent. Well done, mate. I'm going to keep my son away from this podcast because he'll want that otherwise.
Yes.
Good. My cool thing isn't cheap, I'm afraid. I wanted a really good wide angle lens, and I've the widest I've got that does does 2.8 is a 35mm lens. So I bought myself the 16-35 from Canon, which is £1,200. So it's not cheap.
Ooh.
But it is absolutely beautiful. I mean, here you can see I'm holding it from the screen. I'm about 12 inches away from the screen, and even so, 12 inches away from the screen, that is really wide. So that's a 30-inch monitor in that screen.
Is that the one with the selfie from the other day?
Yeah, that's the one I took the selfie with the other day. let's try again. There we go.
Wow.
That's about a foot away from the screen. It's a 30-inch screen. And the whole screen's in there.
You know, when you take a selfie with that kind of equipment, it actually looks like a really good photo, not just like junk, like 99.99% of the rest of the selfies out there.
Hang on, let's put the ISO up. Have a play. Oh, no, ISO. There we go.
Wow.
Oh, there we go. There we go. So there you go. I'll do it by hand so you can see just how close this is.
And for all you people out there just listening to this, just enjoy the sound, the shutter.
I mean, that is crazy, isn't it? You saw that was like a foot away from me. And I can't get it in focus because it's... But there you go. It's an absolutely beautiful lens. It's fairly hefty, it has to be said. And it's an 82mm UV filter, which means it's £50 just for the UV filter on it. But I've got to say, I haven't even used it in anger yet for work. But I'm already really satisfied with it. So It's £1,200 at the moment at Wex, but there's £170 cash back from Canon on it, so I will be getting my £170 back. I won't be passing that one over.
Blimey.
Do apologise. I'm not sure if that's the most expensive we've had, but yeah. Oh my God, it's big. Thank you, Bronwyn. I do appreciate that. Where can we get a hold of your streak?
Well, I usually send people scurrying over to my website at streakmachine.com, and you'll find all my online endeavors right there.
Excellent, mate. And you've got a book out which people can buy. What's it called?
You can find all the information about it there too. It's a little helpful guide to a better digital life. And, well, I would really appreciate it if you bought it.
It's good. It's good. You should.
And updates are coming. I'm working hard on expanding the book and adding more chapters and straightening things out that people have given me feedback on the existing chapters.
Great. Peter Wells, mate, it's light there, I can see now. So it's dawn's coming up.
It is.
You joined us at 5 a.m. I salute your dedication, sir. You are very gratefully received at this end. And please, please, please come back again soon.
Oh, I'd love to. This was really fun. Thank you so much.
We don't take ourselves seriously at all, mate. Where can people get hold of you?
Just, I guess, over on the Twitters. Peter Wells at the Twitters. I don't tend to talk too much tech over there. It's mainly just complaining about work. But if you're into that, if you have an IT job that you can't stand either, then come along and follow me and we can complain about our end users together.
Good man. Come back soon, please. It was excellent. Patrick Beja, you can get him at patrickbeja.com, and he will talk you through his tech knowledge and writings. Rendezvous Tech in France is the podcast. En France, I'm presuming. Righty, where are you, boy?
Twitter, Portland's on Twitter, and the best place on the net, britishtechnetwork.com.
Excellent, mate. Writing reviews like Billio.
And the help blog as well.
The help blog, yeah, there's tons going up on the help blog. The help show's going up soon. We did have a question last night at the help show. Dear Ewan, I can't find the help show. Please help me find the help show. Don't you think that's a bit ironic? The help show will be going up. I've got to make the titles over the weekend, but then the help show will go up. Two episodes will go up, and it'll be in iTunes, and we'll do it regularly from that point. And we're on and running. Some great questions last night. There was one absolute doozy for Sarah about a Linux issue, so... keep on coming in. If you want to send a question for the help show, britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. The other thing that happened last week on the Mac show, because we're trying to get more people to, you know, get a higher profile in iTunes, so please, if you can, if you're not subscribing in iTunes, please just subscribe in iTunes, just so that we get that hit. And if you are a subscriber in iTunes, unsubscribe, and then the following day please resubscribe, and that'll just boost us up in the rankings a little bit for iTunes, get us a bit more visibility, particularly in the US, because it's a bit of a cutthroat market there. We've just broken into the top 200, which is significant. We do appreciate that. Thanks very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll see you next week. Big show's at normal time, 8 p.m. on a Thursday. We might have to push it back to 9 if Peter wants to come on again.
Oh, that'd be lovely. Thank you.
Have a great day, and we'll see you next time soon. That's the big show.